The Holy Gospel according to the book of Acts, beginning in the 16th chapter. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she prevailed upon us. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
The reading from Acts will become apparent in just a few minutes. Today is St. Patrick's Day. And most people, whether they're Irish or not, will wear something green, maybe drink a few green beers, wear shamrock pins, and perhaps even wear something that says, which is curious to me, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." Parades will march, pipes will play, and Chicago will dye its river green to honor the Irish and St. Patrick. I saw last night on TV that the Niagara Falls was turned green in honor of St. Patrick's Day. All of this, however, tends to miss the real impact of St. Patrick on the history of the world. Millions of people will celebrate this day today, and most will have no clue as to why. Since this special day falls on Sunday, I have an opportunity to tell the rest of the story in a way that I hope will inspire and motivate us all toward our Christian mission in life. The story begins in the late 4th and early 5th century after the time of Christ. The then-known world was ostensibly Christian and had been since the time of Constantine. Near the edge of the Roman Empire, somewhere in the northeastern England, there lived a Roman Briton named Patricius, later known as Patrick. He was 16 years old. He was born into an aristocratic Christian family, and although his grandfather was a priest, Patrick's own family was only marginally practicing the faith. Patrick was himself a bit of a rebel who ridiculed the local clergy and, by his own admission, lived on the wild side of alienated and ungoverned youth. Sometime during that year, a band of Celtic pirates sailed from Ireland and conducted raids in that part of England. The Irish were famous for plying the slave trade, and in these raids they captured and carted off foreign people to serve the chieftains and the warlords of that pagan island. Patrick was captured during one of these raids and taken against his will. Once in Ireland, Patrick was sold to a tribal chieftain, a druid named Miliuk, who promptly put Patrick to work herding cattle in the hills. It was lonely and dangerous work. He was given little food or clothing and was constantly exposed to the elements in those windswept places. Alone with his thoughts, Patrick began to pray to the God he had previously ignored. He writes in his confession, "After I reached Ireland, I used to pasture the flock each day, and I used to pray many times a day. More and more did the love of God and my fear of him and faith increase. And my spirit was moved so that in a day I said from 1 up to 100 prayers, and in the night a like number. Besides, I used to stay out in the forest and on the mountain, and I would wake up before daylight to pray in the snow, in the icy coldness, in the rain, and I used to feel neither ill nor any slothfulness, because, as I now see, the Spirit was burning in me at that time." Patrick began to identify with this Spirit and with the triune God. Without any outside help, Patrick was becoming a devout Christian, and his captors began to notice a change in him. At the same time, he somehow began to identify with the very people who had enslaved him. He learned their language and culture, understood their own view of the world and of their religion, what little they had. In time, he even came to love and identify with these outcasts as people who might one day turn to the God that he was knowing. Still, Patrick was a slave, and he sought his freedom. After 6 years in captivity, he received a vision one night in a dream where a voice said to him, "You are going home. Look, your ship is ready." He awakened the next morning, walked 200 miles to the seacoast, and negotiated his way on board a ship bound for Gaul, which is present-day France. He eventually made it back home to England. Shortly after he had rejoined his family, Patrick had another vision. In this dream, a man by the name of Victoriacus, whom Patrick may have known while in Ireland, came to him with letters from his former captors in Ireland. As he read the letters, Patrick says, "As I was reading the beginning of the letter, I seemed at that moment to hear the voice of those who were beside the forest in Falkland, which is near the Western Sea. And they were crying as if with one voice, 'We beg you, holy youth, that you should come and should walk again among us.'" His captors were inviting the captive back to Ireland. When Patrick awoke, he interpreted this dream as the Macedonian call, much like the Apostle Paul had experienced, in which we heard during the gospel reading. Patrick believed that he was being called to go back and walk among the very people who had enslaved him. He would now be a captor, but he was capturing these people with the good news of Jesus Christ. He studied for the priesthood and got permission to go back to Ireland despite the protests of his family and some church superiors. Places like Ireland were isolated from the Roman Empire, and church officials knew little about the people that were there other than they weren't Roman, were fierce in battle, were known to practice human sacrifice, and carried the heads of their defeated enemies around their belts. They were a very tough crowd, to say the least. Typically, the Roman church wanted new converts to be Romanized, that is, culturally be a Roman, but religiously be Christianized. And once a civilized population became Christian, they were expected to read and speak Latin, adopt Roman cultures, and do church the Roman way. The rule had changed from when in Rome, do as the Romans do, to when anywhere, do as the Romans do. But Patrick adopted a radically different approach. Rather than set up a church as the center of a parish and get people to come, Patrick and his entourage engaged in a relational strategy and stayed outside of the center of the town. Arriving at a tribal settlement, Patrick would engage the chieftain in conversation, hoping for his permission to camp nearby. The team would then meet with people, engage them in conversation, and look for those who were receptive to the Word of God. They would pray for sick people, counsel those who needed it, and mediate conflicts. On at least one occasion, Patrick blessed a river and prayed for the people to catch more fish. Kind of reminder of Jesus on the shore and the fishermen whose nets were filled, overflowing with fish. Patrick would reveal God in the plainest of circumstances. After a while, a community of faith emerged, and Patrick and his entourage would move on, leaving behind a priest to nurture the fledgling community. About 700 churches and monastic communities were planted by Patrick. What was amazing was women were usually a part of Patrick's ministry team, with men and women serving side by side in many cases. Patrick and other Celtic Christian leaders had a high view of women, which contrasted the Roman view expressed by Augustine and others that women were merely temptations of the flesh. The effect of Patrick's ministry on Ireland was nearly a complete transformation of the entire island. By the end of his life, or shortly thereafter, the slave trade had disappeared in Ireland. The previously illiterate Irish soon became the people who, according to Thomas Cahill, saved civilization. By copying by hand many of the classic works of Europe that may have been lost forever during Europe's dark ages. Irish missionaries began to move out to places like Scotland and converted them to Christianity, following many of Patrick's methods. Legend has it that St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. Well, the truth is that there never were, nor are there today, snakes in Ireland, at least not the slithering kind. The legend may be symbolic of the fact that Patrick did, in fact, drive out much of the evil and violence that had existed for so many centuries in Ireland. Patrick had first come to Ireland as a slave, but it was there that he would voluntarily spend the rest of his life capturing people with the love of God and driving out evil. On this St. Patrick's Day, we celebrate someone who was willing to use a tragic and unfair circumstance in his life as a springboard to make a difference among the very people who had enslaved him. Rather than run away from conflict or opposition, Patrick moved toward it. Rather than buy into fear and say, well, they're a lost cause, he instead grew to love the outsiders and gave his life over to them. His tenacity and dedication to gracious hospitality and his devotion to Christ served as a model for all who would call themselves Christian. So go ahead and wear your green, but if you really want to honor St. Patrick, the best way would be for you to offer some holy conversation to a person who needs it. Perhaps engage that person at work who may be difficult for you to talk with. Offer some help to a neighbor without being asked. Drop a note to someone who could use some encouragement. And begin to connect with someone that you don't know. Know this, that the second you walk out of the church doors, you are a missionary who, like Patrick, is called to walk among the people of your community, offering them hospitality, friendship, and above all, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the kind of missionary work that can transform a community and even transform the entire world. Do that. Walk among the people of your community. And we can say with conviction that there is a wee bit of the Irish saint in all of us. Amen.